B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. The Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic in NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm Anthony Gargano in for Mikey Miss, who's relaxing down ashore. Nice. Well, tomorrow we're going to do our own best of Philly.
It's going to be fun.
After Philadelphia Magazine, we'll do our own best of Philly tomorrow. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the categories, we'll have our own.
That's
going to
be great.
We'll take our callers. I know you got... Look, now you're a Philly girl through and through.
I am. Yeah, so I got a ton of places. Spots. Yeah, I have my go-tos.
Ty, you got your spots, Ty?
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, though, I won't be with you tomorrow. It will be Andrew back with you tomorrow.
Oh, Andrew's
coming.
Yes.
Coming back?
Okay.
Oh,
I believe
okay.
So.
All right.
Oh.
All right. We'll get... you'll get your stuff in.
I'll tweet you guys in.
All right.
There you go.
Much like the picture of the princess we just got.
Yeah, by the way, whoever did that is brilliant.
Unbelievable.
Give me a shout. Give me some praise.
Yeah, let me get the...
Can you show the camera? Put your phone to the camera so those watching on television can see you as a princess.
A tremendous Photoshop job, as you can tell. Just took my Twitter picture.
Oh,
it's just my
go.
Face.
That's pretty
took
good.
Took it right off.
That's good. Princess
Tyler.
Now,
who
Tyler.
Made that?
That is Francis Trimback, F-R-A Binks.
Nice work by Francis.
Well done.
Now, does your father, will he call you princess now for that one? Like the Buster stuff.
I don't think he was going to until you said that, and now probably
he
will.
The guy who go, what's up, princess?
Oh, the problem is it won't be just my dad.
It'll be everybody.
Yeah, well, that's why I keep saying it, Princess Tyler. I was about to say Princess Andrew.
Princess Tyler.
It looked great on you too.
The pink's flattering.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Newcastle. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kev!
Anthony, how you doing, man?
What's up, Kev?
I'm a little bit ticked off about the talk about Nick Foles, comparing Nick Foles to Carson. So I'm going to be calm. Hearing about Nick Foles. I gave Nick Foles his praise. I love the guy for what he did for Philadelphia. But it's time to move on. Carson is our guy. You know, there's more to talk about than Nick Foles. The thing that's going on in training camp, I'm very interested.
I'm with you. I just brought it up because Stephen A. said today, in case you didn't hear it, he said that Nick Foles will always be a bigger legend than Carson Wentz. I found it interesting because I'm with you. I'm a Wentz guy, all right?
Right.
And I'm fascinated to find out how he's going to respond. He's got weapons. I'm expecting a monster year. Like, I would be disappointed, Kev, if he wasn't just racking up, like, Peyton type of yardage.
The biggest thing he has to do is to protect himself.
Yeah.
So that he can stay on the field and not off the field.
I agree.
Okay. All right, Anthony.
All right, you got it, Kev. Thanks, buddy. Let's go to Rodriguez. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rodriguez.
Anthony, ¿cómo está mi amigo?
Oh, va bene. I'm giving you a tag. What's up, Rodriguez?
See? Listen, Anthony.
Yes.
Their talk is not about whether it's Wentz or Carson. What he was trying to say, Mr. Smith is trying to say, is that he's not going to repeat that. And that's true. It's not going to repeat. I mean, he's not going to beat Brady, and it's not going to be so glorious, and it's not going to be the MVP or the Super Bowl. This season only happens once in the city. It's not going to happen again, and if it does, that's looking down many years to come.
Wait a second. Whoa. So, Rodriguez, you're telling me that Carson will not have a big year?
No, I'm not saying that. He's going to have big times in the city, but to win a Super Bowl, to be a Brady, to become MVP, to do what Nick Foles did, that magic, he's not going to repeat that. Nobody's going to repeat that.
Well, but it's different. Like, here's the deal. Nick Foles does it as, like, this backup that is forced into duty, right? And he has three monster games, right? I'm not going to count the Falcons. Right. Like, he's got, he does, he really has the monster Super Bowl, and I'll
he
give him.
Brilliant.
Right, but Carson can be brilliant in his own way for a whole season, like he was that year.
Yeah, we're hoping that, you know, something like this will happen in the near future, but a lot of us say, well, we're just hoping.
He's got, but then not about hope, like, he's got to perform.
Right, he's got to perform, definitely.
I mean, you know, he's got the ability. With this offense, he should be putting up monster numbers, no?
I think so, man. But you know what? It was so glorious to see us beat Brady. It was just the greatest thing in the world.
I know. Listen, it was great. It was great, Rodriguez. But still, you know, Carson's got big things that he can do.
Yes, I agree.
You sound like you're wishful.
Pending he stays healthy.
Yeah, right. Well, I get it. I mean, health is what it is. I don't know, man.
Not magic was just magic.
No, but you're starting, you're kind of downing me a little bit, man. Come on, brother.
I know, man.
I got a roll, man. We got T-Mac on the line, but thank you, Rodriguez. We appreciate it. On the line from ESPN and the Fanatic. He does an amazing job covering the Birds like no other. One T-Mac, Tim McManus, on the Comcast Business Hotline. T-Mac!
Anthony, what's going on?
What's up, my brother? We're just talking about Carson. I don't know if you heard Stephen A. Stephen A, one of the hot takes. Stephen A. Smith says that Nick Foles will always be the legend and Wentz will never reach that that pantheon, that legendary status.
Hmm.
Now, a bit of a hot take, obviously, but I'm curious. You know, when you look at Carson, and we all know the pressure, we all know that he's got weapons, this could be one of the best Eagle offenses ever. What do you see in practice? What's your gut feeling with Carson?
My gut feeling with Carson is that he is ready to take a step forward in his development as he enters year four as a quarterback. I think that he's going to look somewhat familiar and then also a little bit different once he opens up on September 8th against Washington. What I'm hearing from, like, Mike Groh, just the offensive coordinator, just talked about it today, and Darren Sproles echoed the same thing to me just last week, is that you're seeing a Wentz that is processing the offense quicker, that when he sees something post-snap, he's able to kind of, with the mental Rolodex, get to it faster than he has in the past. He's feeling more comfortable with his reads. And things are just moving more mentally quicker for him. So I think that what you're going to see is a little bit more of a mature quarterback that's going to have to find that balance of mixing what we have seen with his, you know, physical gifts and being a playmaker in that respect. More with, you know, kind of a heightened football acumen on the NFL level. That might take a little bit of time to work out during the course of the regular season, but I think once it clicks, it's going to click in a pretty big way.
Yeah, I kind of think the same thing. And you look at what's around him. T-Mac on the Comcast Business Hotline, you look at what's around him. And Timmy, I mean, he should be incandescent. I mean, knowing his skill set and what's there. My expectations are pretty lofty.
Well, they should be. I mean, this offense has every ability to get back to the heights that they're at in 2017 and potentially even beyond that. I mean, they have, you know, their offensive line depth is kind of like the envy of the league. They have playmakers for days. This may be the best set of weapons that Wentz not only has had but will ever have as a professional at quarterback. And, you know, really the trick is, all right, how do I use them? How do I keep everybody happy? How do I distribute the ball? And that's something that they're really honestly working through. Like, it's not, you know, this perfect orchestration out here every day. There's highs and lows. I think they're still working on exactly what their offensive identity is going to be. You know, but the fortunate thing for them is that they can tweak their identity from week to week because of how loaded they are personnel-wise. It'll make them hard to game plan for, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to somebody in the league, Tim, and we were talking about the Eagles, and the fact they can do so many different things and give you so many different looks, Obviously, we've talked extensively about, you know, 12 personnel. We've talked about what there are when Aguilar's on the field in the slot and when they're running the ball, whether it's Sanders or whether it's Jordan Howard or whether, you know, Sproles is in the game and the possibility of a wheel route. But all that said, how would you attack this Eagles offense? Because to me, there's only one way to truly attack them, and that is pressure up the middle.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say kind of like more of a must rush for Wentz. You know, when he's at his best, at least what we've seen so far, is when pressure comes in, he extends the play, he moves out of the pocket, he uses his natural ability, he throws it 60 yards down the field for Aguilar, or now DeSean Jackson. I mean, those are kind of, I think, what most of us think of when we think of Wentz and the flashes of greatness that he showed. And what he still needs to show, especially now that he's got back-to-back off, you know, season-ending injuries under his belt, is that he has to work on time more. You know, so opposing defenses, I guess, you know, to start out for sure, keep him contained in the pocket and make him work, you know, as a more of a traditional style quarterback, because that's an area that still he needs to smooth out and one that he hasn't proven totally kind of on a regular season game setting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do, because if you're, and I saw this guy in the league, we're talking about how you would attack them. I would also disguise some coverages, particularly in front of him, because sometimes he might not see that linebacker that's got depth or that safety coming over.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's why the joint practices with the Ravens have been beneficial. The first one just wrapped up about 15, 20 minutes ago. And, you know, this Ravens secondary, first of all.
Yeah, they're no joke. Yeah.
They are pretty good. You know, Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Brandon Carr, Earl Thomas, all these guys are out there and giving, you know, the first team offense for the Eagles when they went head to head, you know, everything that they could ask for. And there was one sequence, just to speak to your point, where DeSean Jackson lines up in the slot. He has a route over the middle. Wentz doesn't see the linebacker, and it was almost picked off. So those are things that they're still working through. Not a finished product by any means.
So what do you think? Do we see him at all Thursday? Probably not.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, all of this, they're starting to send out more and more signals of, like, we're getting really good work in practice. We're getting really good work
in
practice.
Right.
You know, the more they hype that up, and it's true, they have been giving the first team a ridiculous amount of reps, more so than I've seen in a really long time. Suggests to me that if we see him, it's going to be a cameo and nothing more. But after you have two injuries to your quarterback, I mean, every time there's an injury that happens, it only furthers the argument of why you should just wait until September.
I'm of that ilk, man. I put him on the shelf. I do. He's the elf on the shelf. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not messing around. And look, you know, here's the one thing about the Patriots and what the Patriots have proven, that when the Patriots are always vulnerable in September, right? They'll get out 1-2, 2-2, and people start to think, well, you know, maybe Brady's showing his age, and maybe the Patriots are done. And next thing you know, come mid-October, they hit a roll, and then they take that roll through January.
It's all about the long game.
It is.
Yeah, it's all about the long game, and I think that's the way, ultimately, that they're going to look at it. Zach Ertz, just talking at his locker a couple minutes ago, he said, if I was playing in the preseason game, I would get what, like 12 reps max? It's like I'm doing this work in practice and I'm getting, you know, like 50 snaps. You know, so that's kind of where their mentality really seems to be right now.
T-Mac, ESPN, covers the Birds right here, 97.5 The Fanatic as well. Timmy, what have you learned thus far this preseason where you are, you know, approaching the third most, usually the most important game for the preseason? What have you learned up to this date?
Well, I've learned that they've got depth in a lot of areas. Certainly on offense, you know, I've been impressed by a couple of the guys on the bottom of the roster when it comes to wide receiver position. A guy like Greg Ward will flash in one game, and then you'll see Mark and Michelle in another. And I think that's emblematic of, you know, I think that's kind of what we've seen throughout the course of the summer, where they're making it hard on the coaches to decide exactly how they're going to shape this roster. I could make the same case for defensive line. I think they're going to be scratching their heads, being like, all right, well, I really don't want to let this guy go. And then running back, they've found depth overall as well. But, you know, one area where it's really been on display and will be key to start the year is at corner. And that's because, you know, Jalen Mills, we still haven't seen him. I don't know when we're going to see him. I don't know if he knows when he's going to be back out on the field, still recovering from the foot injury. Darby's just working back into team drills now. And that has allowed for guys like Sidney Jones to take a lot of first team reps. And I think he's acquitted himself really well. And that's a really key development if it continues for this team.
Nah, you're right about that. That's big. What about linebackers? We always know that the depth in that unit is probably the weakest on this team.
Yeah. I think that's right. And I don't think that they've done anything necessarily through the first two preseason games or the summer to kind of change my opinion on that. I think that they're not in terrible shape once they get Bradham back, but Bradham's been slowly working his way back from following toe surgery. And so there's a chance that he's not going to be 100% himself by the time we get to September, which is all of a sudden very close. So it's going to be patchwork with Zach Brown and Nate Gary. Those guys have been okay, but Kamu Grugier-Hill is hurt now. So I think it's really going to be just kind of a patchwork situation, at least for the first handful of games here.
So can the front, now this is going to be big for this defense, obviously, can this front, because we know what Jim Schwartz's defense is, can it dictate? This is going to be the big question, I think, defensively.
Well, there's two kind of question marks over that for me. One is, what does Fletcher Cox look like when he gets back? Because he hasn't been back consistently yet. So we're still waiting to see kind of what the full Fletcher Cox looks like coming off of foot surgery. And the second thing is, what will the depth show at defensive end once they get into game action? There's been good flashes from Deshaun Hall, as an example. He's had a really nice preseason.
He's been the MVP of the preseason so far.
Yeah. I've been really impressed. I've been like trying to focus on Josh Sweat, and he keeps pulling my attention away.
He's been
so impressive since he made the team. But I think that's going to be the key, along with Derek Barnett coming off a shoulder injury. I think that he's an absolute X factor for the season.
I know. Those ends, I mean, that's the thing. You're right on. Barnett needs double-digit sacks. He's going to have enough push inside that he's got to be able to get to the quarterback and get home and eat.
Yeah, and, Jeff Stoutland was just talking about him maybe about a week ago, about, like, he's ridiculous to defend because his bend is so low that offensive tackles have a really hard time getting down there. And what he said was, as soon as he develops an inside spin move, it's over. Like, because he's got that bend that offensive tackles have to account for, they're going to overset. And once he learns how to spin inside, he's going to be an absolute terror. So I think that the ceiling is still really high on Barnett. I think the coaches feel that way. But he needs to, this is year three for him.
Yeah.
And because of you lose Long, you lose Bennett, it's Barnett. I agree with you. Double-digit sacks. That should absolutely be the goal for him.
Real quick, when we talk about this offense, what do you think numbers-wise? We're talking to Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Like, when we're talking about numbers for Carson, numbers for this offense, where do you – I'm starting to get a little bit, overly dramatic about it, because I think the numbers can be like ridiculous. Am I wrong? Should I dial it back a little bit?
I think the optimism is rightfully in place there. And, they were number two in scoring in 2017. Is it around 29 points per game? And then it dipped down to around 23 last year. I think that it's going to be back towards 2017 levels. It should be. If it's not, and everybody's healthy, somebody's in trouble. But I do think that, it might not look exactly how you want it to look all the time early. I think there is going to be a feeling out process. I think that Wentz.
And that's fair.
Yeah. I think that Wentz is going to, he's not relearning, but there is going to be an adjustment to what he was and what he is now and what that looks like in real time. And he's got new weapons that he's working with, so it's not going to be a finished product right away. And maybe people might get jittery because of that. But I think it's not going to take too long for this team to hit its stride. And I think once it does, they have every chance to be as good as any offense in the NFL.
Yeah, see, I that's the only thing I fret is that he is a little bit, I don't want to say scuffles, but he's not completely in sync early. Because I agree with you. I don't expect them to. I think they need to, especially with no preseason work in games. He's going to need to have September to kind of get himself into a rhythm with this offense. And my biggest fear is that people start to go, people get a little crazy early.
I think the one good thing that Wentz has going for him is that he seems to have kind of taken the foot off the pedal in terms of like self pressure. He seems a lot lighter these days. And going back to the original thing that you said about Stephen A. I mean, you know, he does walk into the link, and there's a giant bronze statue of Nick Foles talking to Doug Peterson saying, "You want Philly, right?" I mean, he walks through the hallways from practice into the locker room,
yeah.
And there's a big fat head of Nick Foles next to a big montage celebrating Super Bowl 52.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't have to see that to know what unfolded in front of him, and there's so much pressure that a guy like that, type A personality, perfectionist, puts on himself. That you mount it with the circumstances, which are unique and pretty much unprecedented. And there is kind of this ghost that he is fighting. But I think the good news from what I've seen this offseason is that he's learned to take a breath a little bit, learned to take things and himself a little less seriously. Has actually said he's learned from Foles in that respect. And so I think if he keeps that mentality, he should be able to shake those kind of things off. And as of right now, he's in a really good headspace entering 2019.
That's great stuff, man. What a great conversation, T-Mac. Always enjoy it, man. You're the best.
A pleasure.
Where can you download that fabulous podcast of yours?
You can go right on to 975thefanatic.com, of course, or you can go on anywhere, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, and download embedded. We'll have a fresh one coming out this week.
Love it. Great stuff, T-Mac. Thanks, brother.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
There he is. Tim McManus, brought to you by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com. I love the fact that the company's Training Camp. Every time I hear Training Camp.
Oh, isn't it great?
I go like, wow, that's a great name.
It's like the perfect partnership.
They're good people, too.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're awesome.
They got to be cool.
Yeah.
First of all, to name your company Training Camp.
I know.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I go, that's cool. That's really cool, whoever did that. Pretty great. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. You don't want to miss it. We got all your calls. We got Charlie Manuel come up at 5 o'clock. This is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm Anthony Gargano filling in.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
.430 across the Delaware Valley. 4 o'clock hour. That's right. As we hang out here. And don't forget, you can win a chance to go to the NBA Experience at Disney. That's right. You're going to trip for 4 to the NBA Experience where Jason and I was last week. Amazing. Love the game of basketball. Now it's time to live it. Take your shot at the all-new NBA Experience at Walt Disney World Resort with a special Fanatic giveaway. 2 ways to enter. You can go to 975thefanatic.com, go to the contest page and enter to win, or go to FanFest 2019, and on site there will be a register to win area. And it was, it's awesome. It's like you went to commissioning and drafted, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my chance. I can't believe they didn't pick me up when I was playing at Penn State in my intramural days.
Nat, you would have loved it, man.
I'm sure I would have.
You get drafted.
Yeah.
And you go,
I gotta get down there.
Fire them up. But it was cool, man. It was a lot of fun. They do things the right way, without a doubt. By the way, our 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Let's get back to the people. Let's go. I want to get to Joe up. Joe in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey.
Hey, what's up, cuz? How you doing, man?
What's up, Joe? What's I knew that was you. What's happening, brother?
Tight. Yeah, everything going okay. You know what? I want to get back to the other caller, man. I think that is a violation, yo. I think I'm kind of violating. You need to take, you got to take that to the grave. I don't think you switch over at the end. I mean, I know you pay respect and all.
Well, for it, so for the one-day eulogy, you say violation.
Yeah, I think that's a violation, man. I think you got they go to the grave, man. What kind of rivalries go to the grave?
Just for those people just joining us, caller calls up, and he says that a guy passes away, who was a monster Penn State fan. His best friend was a monster University of Pittsburgh fan. So he's doing the guy's eulogy, and he pulls out a Penn State jersey, and he puts it on and says, I'm going to be a Penn State fan for the day for his fallen friend.
Right. And you, give me a Francis too, man.
All right, so let's bring it full circle. So you got a best friend. Who's your best friend, Joe? Who's your best friend?
My man, Jay.
So Jay, all right, so... What if Jay was a Cowboys fan and you're giving away like a monster Cowboys fan and you're giving his eulogy and Jay's dying wish was to have you put on a Michael Irvin jersey for the day while you gave his eulogy? Would you not do that?
He know the type of guy I am. Nah,
I'm not that. What was he doing? E-A-G-L-E-S?
Yeah, he got to respect the grade, man. I'm going to And you know my out-of-town thing? You know, my name is a Phillies hat. I always had, man. I get a Phillies hat. I love a Phillies hat when I get out-of-town. I pay more attention to the other sports, but I think that, I play bigger baseball, too, but my thing, I get 4 or 5 Philly hats before I get any other kind of hat. It's like 9 or 10. I just love my Philly.
So when you go on when you travel and you're going out of town, you rock the Phillies hat.
Yeah.
No, it's nuts, dude. All right, Joey, all we saw, I mean, the more people down there wearing sports motif was Philadelphia. Like, it was unbelievable. I saw some Red Sox, but that was it. Like, very little Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, the fans really, I think Philadelphia fans, I mean, when you nationally, they're really a big thing.
I know.
Yeah, man, it's a much respect across the country for Philadelphia. And that Eagles thing, I think whoever takes the longest, I think now everybody's waiting to see how long it takes for another one. If it takes as long as it takes the first one, none of us are going to be here. You know, we ain't going to be here. But I think if Wentz can get up there, man, if he can, the next 5 or 10 years, you know, if he can knock off a couple, I think, you know, all that's, you know, set the rust.
I know. That's the only thing I worry about is that people don't have patience for him early.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, I get it. You know, if he, you know, because he's under the scope, he's under the scope. You got to perform.
And the full statue outside, like you said, every time you come.
I know, man.
That's a lot of pressure.
I know.
If he can make people, you know, memory short, he got it.
I feel you, brother. Great. Always great hearing from you, Joey.
All right, brother.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a... I don't want to say moratorium because that's too harsh of a word. But do you get, if say Carson does not play at all Thursday, right? Because I don't think he is anyway. And T-Mac basically said so. Is there a moratorium on Wentz criticism for the month of September?
Yes. There would have to be a little bit of one, right?
So you would put a moratorium. No Wentz criticism until October.
I give him 2 weeks.
So you go 2 games.
Shake the rust off, yeah. 2 games.
Because you almost got to grade him on a little bit of a curve.
You do.
Offensively.
Yeah.
For the first month. And listen, I'm a Wentz guy. I'm not trying to stack the policy.
Yeah.
In his favor. But, like, my fear is, if he's not perfect... all of a sudden, the fangs come out. Hi?
Well, and listen, it's so vanilla to say this, but it really comes down to if they win or lose the game. If Wentz is average, so-so, and they win the game 24-17, we give him the week. If they lose the game and he's bad, I mean, I go two quarters. I give him a half because you settle in. Second half, you make adjustments. Groh's got to be in his ear. Peterson's got to be in his ear. Hey, listen, this is what we're doing wrong. You've got a half for me, especially if you do, if you're not playing well.
Yeah, it's funny because you would expect this offense to have a little bit of, funny because T-Mac said it, a little bit of a growing kind of pain going, at least for a few weeks.
There's only one ball, and there's a lot of talent.
Yeah, and everybody's got to eat. Everybody's got to be happy. But beyond that, see, what I worry about is the ill-timed interception.
That late drive cost them a game?
Maybe. But I think he's going to throw picks. Maybe not a ton, but...
He's kind of a gunslinger. I wouldn't call him Brett Favre, but he's kind of a gunslinger.
He's going to throw some picks. It was funny. I was talking to that guy in the league. He's a coach, and it's not Spags. Everybody's going to say, it's Spags. It's not him. And we were talking about how you would play the Eagles. Because the Eagles, we were both talking and gushing about the Eagles' offense. And, to me, you overload the middle and you pressure. You got to pressure. You give Wentz time, and he'll kill you with all those weapons. So you got to sell out. You got to give up big plays, but you got to force turnovers, and you got to sell out. And I would overload up front. Right, overload that A-gap against them.
What's the line, though, of walking between bringing the house and bringing enough or not having enough
to give up
the big play?
No, listen, I'm going, nine times out of ten, I'm going to put myself at risk, depending on who they're playing, who the defense personnel is. But that said, man, I'm overloading on the middle, and I'm going to take my chances and hope that he doesn't see the linebacker depth at times, because that's an area the game needs to work on.
So you're okay with the 70-yard play if you get to Carson Wentz four times in a half or in a quarter?
Yeah,
we kind of have to live with it.
But right, yeah. I think that's their offense could be that good. But my only point is, what do the people say? I think we should do a secondary poll. Is it fair game from jump, or do you give a month? Moratorium on Carson criticism.
I don't think that we've ever been able to fairly criticize him from the get-go.
I just throwing it out there.
Because it was his rookie year, then he was injured, then he comes back, and then it's Foles. You know what I mean?
I know. I'm accused of being a Ginger Jesus apologist, so I gotta walk a fine line here. But, do you jump? Do you wait till October? All right, think about it, and we'll discuss. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, and of course, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4:49 on the Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano in for Mikey Miss, who's down the shore, R&R, Summer R&R. All right, I need a Twitter poll update. Of course, our Twitter poll brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat, what's the... Can I get more of the trumpets again?
You want the trumpets again?
Yeah.
Okay. There they are.
I like the trumpets.
Thanks. Yeah. Over 1,000 votes on this one, Ant. Anthony was in Disney all week and saw a ton of Philly sports gear. When you go out, especially when you're out of town, which team do you rep the most? 62% say the Eagles, 14% say the Sixers, 17% go Phillies, 7% go Flyers.
Huh. All right. So kind of staying the same.
Yeah. Eagles.
Should we do the accompanied poll with the Wentz?
Do you want me to, or we could set that one for tomorrow.
All right.
That way we have a more accurate
assessment. I'm with you.
That way it's the full 4 hours.
We'll
do that tomorrow.
Like, how long do you give him? So you give him a chance.
Right.
Him like, you know, a month? Is it a week?
2 weeks? One game? Right. Okay.
A quarter?
Yeah, because we only have an hour left. So I want to get an accurate reflection of how the fan base
Charlie
feels.
Coming up, so yeah. We'll make sure. But it's funny because my boy Jim from the Palm says, I'm a Wentzman, but, you know, it's from the first snap. Like, you got to be on.
He's even pushed it further than me. Yeah. I'm giving him a half.
You gave him a half. Jim from the Palm said, nah, got to be from the first snap.
Let's hope he doesn't throw a pick on the first play.
Oh, God forbid. That's where I'm going. I kind of feel like I'm a little too lenient if I say a month. But in reality, and think about it for a second. If he doesn't play, he's not going to play Thursday night. There's got to be some sort of allowance for the offense to kind of get into sync a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
like, we're going to look at it objectively.
Right.
No?
I know there is.
But Tyler's looking at me like, I'm Mr. Soft.
I can't do a month because we saw what happened last year and they almost missed the playoffs and it took them, you know, Herculean effort to get back into the playoffs. And I don't know if I can do that again. I can't watch losses to Tennessee and losses to Carolina when you've got 17-point leads.
So their first four games, you got it up there. Their first four games, you open against Washington.
Yep.
They're not losing against Washington.
No, they're wild.
There's no way.
Right? Then
Atlanta on the road.
Okay. That might be
tough.
That's
an iffy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, you can win. Obviously, you can win. But if they're not, the premise again is that they need to get in play to get in sync. All right? So that's a game up for grabs. Then?
Then Detroit at home.
All right. I mean, you should be
Detroit. Win that game.
You should be Detroit, yeah.
And then week four, short week at Lambeau.
Okay.
Against Green Bay.
So if they're 2-2 after the first month.
I think that's where they'll be.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think they'll probably win the two home games and lose the two road games.
See, as much as I'm
3-1. Go ahead.
I'm optimistic. I have higher expectations than that. Yeah, so I think they're 3-1.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. But if they're 2-2, what's the mood?
I'm uncomfortable.
And if they're 2-2, and Wentz is good, but he's not, you know, he's made a couple mistakes.
I mean, on the outskirts right now, I'd be in the minority, and I'm saying I'm okay with it because I think they'll be 2-2. But to your point, if Wentz is average, then the doubt starts to creep over your shoulder a little bit.
Right. Well, say he's not average. You see some good things, but he's made some mistakes, and the offense is not full throttle yet. And again, my whole premise is that it's going to take some time with these new weapons for this whole offense to start clicking. And we know, as rash as we are, deep down intellectually, we understand that it takes usually a month for an offense. And the most important months of the season is November, December.
Yeah, nobody cares about how you start. You mentioned it a couple of times. The Patriots are always 2-2.
That's my point. That's why I'm giving you my point. So, you know, as much as we're like, well, he's got a half or he's got a quarter or he's got a snap.
I mean, realistically.
If we're going to be objective, we're going to be smart about it, intellectual about it. Shouldn't you give the offense a month?
No.
Can't do it. I'm sorry.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Not the way that this team's coming back.
I get it. Like, I get it.
This is, and I keep saying this is Carson Wentz 2.0 era. There's nothing looming. He's paid. There's no limitations. He's been healthy. He lost all that weight.
I get it. You know what I mean? You guys are right. I'm just saying, if you're going to look at it a certain way.
Try not to kill your buzz.
I'm out.
Try not to kill your excitement.
I'm not 2-2. I can't.
So if they're 2-2 and they're playing well, like they lose a couple of their defenses?
No,
good?
I don't want them to lose
really?
Two games in September. No, I don't. They should win three. They should win three.
Yeah.
Green Bay's short week.
It's a tough game.
I know.
It's a tough game. And Atlanta.
I know.
Atlanta's a tough game.
But we can beat Atlanta. I think we can.
Yeah, they, I mean, they can.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can beat them. I mean, I love the Pens, though. Again, Atlanta's issue last year was they were decimated by injury.
Exactly.
On defense.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting them to be a little bit more fortified defensively.
We'll see.
And Matt Ryan is, he's got,
it's Matt Ryan.
When he's got health, I mean, they have a good offense. Julio Jones, we know it. Freeman, like, we know him.
I can't wait.
Calvin Ridley, you too.
Yeah, I like Calvin Ridley a lot.
I do too.
A lot. I like him. That's funny. But it is interesting, like, when you think about our own expectations, because we can get nuts. Like, you know, listen, we could show fangs and we could show, and Carson does not have a long leash in that sense.
No. No, not like this year.
Like, that part scared me a little bit.
He's had three years of leashes.
No, you're right. Like,
you know?
Like, listen, you're right. But when you don't play all preseason and you get to, you know, and the offense has a lot of moving parts to it, understanding it a little bit, I could totally see, oh, God forbid, what are you making excuses for? Don't make excuses for. I'm not, but again, he's been there for, you know, takes a month for you to kind of get right. Just ask Belichick. Remember the Chiefs? Come out hot 2 years ago. Not
yes.
last year. Two years ago. They were just on fire. Oh, the Chiefs. This is before Mahomes. And it was Alex Smith. And they were just, they beat the Patriots. Oh, the Chiefs. And then what happens?
They beat the Eagles the next week, too.
Yeah. Right. And they dipped. It's not how you start. I hate to say be cliche, but it's what it is. We'll come back at big 5 o'clock hour. All your calls plus the skip. Charlie Manuel is going to join us live in Boston, and he's going to tell the Japan hot bath story. All right?
Great.
It's one of my favorite Charlie stories.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we'll talk to Charlie coming up next. Get his whole point on analytics and how he's taking over this job. Lots to do. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.